CliffCentral.com. Good morning, everybody. Yes, Halloween tomorrow. Are you ready?
Sound like Vlad the Cliff.
You care about that Halloween tomorrow?
Yes, sure.
You like Halloween? You like dressing up for Halloween? We spoke about this with Pumi yesterday. She's like, nah, but for the kids, she'll at least put out some sweets. Not Sia.
No.
Sia doesn't give a shit about anyone's
but
children.
Any kid.
No, he's just a mean-spirited old man, and he's not even old.
Hey, rephrase that, please.
Sia is so mean-spirited, he will not even put a dish of sweets outside his apartment for the kids.
Ain't nobody got time for that. Oh, Sia.
I know what's going to happen in my neighborhood, and I'm kind of tending towards the Sia way of thinking here.
Oh, after you called me mean and
yeah,
old.
Yeah, I'm allowed to be judgmental, so are you.
Are you going to prank these kids,
no,
guys?
No. I take no interest. What happens is I live in an estate, and, right. And then what's going to happen is that all the other people, because all of them have kids, are going to have this big thing going. Shame, Leanne, are you pulling wire?
Yeah, I'm pulling wire at this time of the morning.
Oh, by the way, we've got to give like a hero's salute to Leanne Moll for making herself available this morning, because guess what? Gordo has, as usual, let the side down because he's got work. You know, Gord can only do one thing a day. So
we all got to work, Gord.
Yeah, so Gord had to work last night. He's like, I can't work late and wake up.
I can't wake
so,
up.
So, yeah, he said, I can't. When he sent the message, I still had an hour of work ahead of me.
Right, and
imagine
you still
that.
Did your work.
And I have a meeting this morning that I also have to be sharp for, because that was his other excuse.
I hope you're listening, Gord.
Yeah.
Damn it.
No, he's not listening. He's fast asleep. He's sleeping. Fuck. Himself into a coma right now. Anyway.
So yes, trick or treat.
Leanne,
so
we had a big, I just got this long essay from Leanne, like, ha!
Oh, were you cross? Were you pissed off?
No, it was I also have to do that, yes, you know, but I'll step in.
That's what Gareth and I were discussing this morning, that we all have work to do.
Yeah, everybody has more than one thing to do a day, but not him. He can do one.
Thank goodness he's not a mum.
I know. He'd be the worst mum ever. His kids would be neglected. He'd go, well, I can't fetch you from school. I dropped you.
You should be able to suckle him.
I can't make you a sandwich. I did your homework with you.
Yeah.
You just have to get hungry. And
One thing a day.
Ask your dad.
Oh, no.
Anyway, so I've got these people who live around me who all have kids, and you can't really hide when you're in. You see, Sia can stay in his apartment, pretend he's not there.
No, it still isn't the same.
I can't do that.
Because they know you're there, though.
I had a doorbell, and my car parks right outside.
So they know you're there. Same thing with me.
Shit, I'm just going to have to go and buy a bunch of stuff and then just leave it out.
Go get some, like a packet of smoothies or something.
At least it's a Thursday, so all of them will have to go to school on Friday, so they won't be up late.
I still remember my aunt, I was standing with her when the kids rang the bell and she was talking and going, and then I think I need to blah, blah, blah. And it went, she picked up the intercom, hello. And they said, trick or treat. She said, no, thanks. Yeah. So anyway, I must.
Shame.
That sounds
you,
right to me.
I told you the one kid next, two houses from me, he had a little lemonade stand up the other day and he was trying to sell horrible lemonade.
Very American of them.
Yeah, I know. It's like we are learning these things from movies, you know.
It's a rite of passage, Gareth.
Yeah, and I feel bad because I am a capitalist and I always think kids should learn that money doesn't just come. Mm. You know, you have to sell something, you have to make something, you have to do something for somebody, otherwise they're not going to pay you, and that's the way it works. Your parents are not just going to give you money. So I appreciate these parents who said to their kid, you know what, go outside there, whatever your name is, and sell some friggin' lemonade, because otherwise you're not going to get any pocket money and you can't buy that.
They literally threw lemons at them and said, get out.
Yeah, make some lemonade. So I felt bad because I didn't have any money on me on that day. And when I did eventually come back from, I think I came back from gym and I had some change, then his lemonade stand had closed down.
Oh,
and he'd gone out of business. So,
oh, he's learning.
I felt bad for the kid. I really did.
He's learning. See, I'm not doing well with this whole shared living thing with people.
I live on my own. You don't have to persuade me, dude. If a friend of mine from overseas says to me, listen, I'm coming in from New York, like one of my friends is coming in January, I'm already worried about it because he might have to stay for more than a night or two. And the minute anything like that happens, I feel imposed upon.
Freak out.
I freak out. I just want to get out of the house and then I leave them in my house and
stay. Look, yes.
Yeah, you can stay, but I have a gig in Bloemfontein, so and then literally drive to Bloem.
I actually do that. I once had someone staying at my house. First night, I'm fine. They can stay for a night, and then it's cool. And like even Ben was there once. He had a thing that he had to do in Pretoria. And he said to me, well, why don't I come over and we can have like drinks and we can chill and then I'll stay and then we can both go into the show the next morning. And it suited him and me because he didn't have a car at the time. So I said, cool, no problem. So Ben was there for one night and it's cool. You know, you do. You spend time, you catch up, you kind of have real conversations. And the next night that this other friend of mine was there, I just didn't know what the hell to do with him. I was like, you're here now, and like, can't you go to sleep or something? And because I wanted to do stuff, like I wanted to do some work on email. Like, you can't sit and work while your friend is, especially if you come out there from. I think this guy was living in London at the time or whatever, and he needed two nights to stay here before he had to fly to Cape Town or something. And I said, "Oh, no problem, it's fine. You can stay." What a mistake. I'm not good. And you know, I'm getting worse.
It'll happen.
With time, I'm worse.
You're unsurprised, Leah.
No, I'm. You're speaking the words from my mouth.
But here's an email that might change everything. You want to hear it?
Okay. If it's from some Russian email, there we go.
So here it is.
Gareth.
I'm going to read this and then we comment afterwards, all right? Okay. The subject is, I'm happy writing to you today. Okay. From Kareen. So Kareen says, I feel great writing to you. Sincerely, I was searching for a good, trustworthy, and humble male to be my soulmate, whom I will love and care for. I am a woman of good heart and optimism. I love making people happy and equally love people making me happy, too, because love and happiness makes one live longer. Okay. So that is why I love staying around people who have great hearts and love. How do you feel so far? You guys pulled in?
You don't know who this person is, right?
No.
Look at Shakespeare reincarnated here.
Are you caught up in it yet?
I'm trying to.
No, I knew
I
from
was
the
born
subject.
On the 21st of February 1988. So how old does that make her now?
33, 34.
Okay. I am single and I have dreams of getting married someday. I'm a Christian. My parents passed away when I was a younger age. My father was from the United States in Alabama, and my mom from France. I was raised in Alabama, the only daughter and only child of my family. I live here in Boston and work as a special security agent in the U.S. Army. My late dad and mom were wonderful, kind people, philanthropists. I miss them so much. Sounds so...
A philanthropist.
This is going to be easy to bring her
and
into.
And Christian.
And she's not a deranged lunatic because she was raised by philanthropists.
Yes.
I'm still going with deranged lunatic.
Things I love doing. I love traveling.
Ooh.
Because it's part of my work. Weekends I go out to see nice places. I love swimming. I enjoy watching the sea waves and the beauty of the mountains. Both everything nature has to offer. Wow. I love shopping too.
Whoa. Ooh, red
alarm
flag.
Bells. And I cook because most times I enjoy cooking. Ha 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 ha.
Lol.
I love being happy always because it makes me feel younger every day. I'm so glad for my life and I really thank God for all his blessing upon me. I would love to know more about your personality and your family so that we could be more concentrate with each other and have a nice relationship together with love and happiness.
Okay.
And I would love if we keep constant communication because with it, we could get to know each other more. If possible, please send your current pictures too with love and kisses.
I'm into love and everything.
Kareen,
what do you look like?
Here are the pictures, all right? So here's Kareen. This is what she looks like.
Did you really get this email?
Yes, this came through to me this morning.
She's quite pretty, though.
Oh, gosh, it's a lot of
there's
cleavage.
Roses.
Oh, and?
There's a very Instagram filtered picture or Snapchat.
More cleavage.
The first picture is quite nice.
So
a Christian cross in the cleavage.
So obviously she's for real.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, I need to immediately write back to her. And this is the girl I've been looking for my whole life.
You gotta do that, man.
I'm gonna settle down, and this is the person I'm going to share my life with because she can cook and she likes the sea waves.
And you can concentrate together.
I can concentrate together with her.
She can do nice things.
See?
and cooking. Ha, 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 ha.
Now, there are a lot of... let's be serious for a second, because I know someone who's going through a very bizarre situation at the moment. Okay. There are a lot of guys and girls my age who are desperate. Okay. I've got one friend who... He is looking for a wife like you can't believe. He thinks, you know, his time is almost up. By the way, he's really not doing anything to look after himself at this point. So he's not a prize. He's not a catch for any woman. He's got an okay job.
How old is he?
42, 43.
Okay.
He's got an okay job. He's let himself go a little bit. It's like a big boop.
Mm. Oh, no.
He doesn't shave all the time, so he looks a little bit scruffy. He's a good guy. He's got a great personality. He would make any woman happy.
Sounds like you're describing Gord right now.
Shut up and listen.
Okay, go ahead.
So he is trying his best, and he's online the whole time. He's on Tinder. He's on all these dating sites. He's trying. He's going on a Facebook and messaging girls he doesn't even know.
Are you trying to set me up?
No, I promise you. No, but wait, you can jump in now, because I know you've got some story. You always have some story. This guy is, he's so desperate for love, companionship, and he's a nice guy, but it sort of smacks of desperation. And the minute people pick up that smell of desperation
on
you,
it stinks.
It chases them the hell away, right? Then there's this other girl I know. Now, don't jump to the immediate conclusion of saying put them together, because
Put them together.
I've thought about it.
I think you should put them together.
And they have met, and it just didn't work. She started a long-distance relationship on Facebook with this guy. And
another guy.
A different guy. He's in America, this other guy. And he's a lot older than her. But she's also in her 40s now, and she's also desperate, right? She wants to settle down. She wants to be in love. She's feeling very lonely. A lot of her friends have been married. They're now divorced. Some of them are still married. But she's feeling left behind. What's happening is she is believing this guy in America and all of his bullshit. And you could just hear he's like one of those con artist types, you know. He might actually be the person he says he is. But you can just hear, like, he is stringing her along, just giving her enough every time to keep the hope alive. And she's thinking this is the savior that she's been looking for. Someone who's going to solve her personal problems, her emotional problems, her financial problems, give her the security that she wants, take her out of South Africa, because she's got this negative thing about South Africa too. And it's all in her head. Made up. And same with this friend of mine, the guy. So the two of these people, if they got an email like this,
They would fall for it immediately.
Not because they're stupid. And don't get me wrong. Both of these people are intelligent people, right? They're smart. They know the difference between bullshit and truth.
They're susceptible, though.
They're susceptible. Mm. Yes, Leanne. Mm. Very good. Leanne is paying attention. So I feel like there are a lot of people in the world who are so keen to get hitched that they will ignore obvious bullshit. They will ignore obvious grammatical and spelling errors written in first in Russian and then translated in one of those apps so that they can catch you. And invariably what ends up happening with these kinds of things is there comes a point where there needs to be money exchanged. Like someone's buying someone a ticket or someone is just needs to bridge some finance because they're waiting for a big deal and they've got some important job that's coming up and they just need to get to the interview and then that's where you transfer that money and then it's over.
Then you end up on Dr. Phil.
That's right.
Well, and you end up really being in the midst of a disaster.
So I don't know, and I'm sure there are lots of people, and I will not judge you. Because as I said, these two friends of mine, they are good people. They are smart people. But my God, they cannot see the wood for the trees because their hearts, and this has always been a problem when I observe humanity, is that their hearts override their brains. They so desperately want to be in a relationship, and they so desperately want their fantasy to be true, that they are incapable of seeing the reality of it. And that's something I just have never been able to do. You go back to this idea of people spending more than a night at my house, or, you know, the neighborhood, or any of this belonging shit. My brain is never overridden by my heart, ever. I love my family, don't get me wrong. I love my friends. I've had great relationships. Never been overridden by that need. Need, you know, you got to say need like it is. Need.
I actually find as it opposed to a want. Beautiful.
If you want something, awesome. If you are a person whose your life is mostly happy, I mean, nobody's perfectly happy all the time, right? You're mostly happy. You get up in the morning, you've got a reason to live. And you want something. You maybe want companionship. That's great. The minute that want turns into need, you're in big trouble. Big trouble. And I'm not saying that as someone, because I know that there's going to be some amateur psychologist out there listening to this going, well, it's because Garrett's got commitment phobia or any of that. I really don't.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah. I do believe that need is very pernicious and dangerous. And want is completely harmless and good and positive. And want can turn into like a sort of light form of need where you need each other because you become stronger together. That's great. But the minute it's like this clawing, gnawing, desperate thing, that's where these people end up in these relationships, these in inverted commas, relationships on the internet. It's deadly. Mm-hmm. This guy, friend of mine I was talking about earlier, he invited a girl from overseas to come here and join him.
That he hadn't met.
Hadn't met her.
Uh-uh.
And she was real.
Angry for you.
She was real. She took the risk. She flew over here. I don't know. I didn't even talk to him about it. I've heard this via the grapevine, right? Because we have a lot of friends in common and all of this stuff. What happened was they didn't click.
Sure.
Like in person, it's very different to if you're just talking on WhatsApp or you're video calling each other and, you know, laughing and you're feeling those butterflies in your stomach because you think someone actually is interested in you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's horrible. It's really horrible that some people that that's what they got to live on. And this guy thought, well, if she gets here, it's going to be love at first sight. Horrible. She had to go back home.
Fantasy land.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that is.
So, Corinne, I don't know. Like, this email of yours is very good. And I'm kind of a little tempted because, you know, I'm a desperate sort of person. But I think I'm going to have to press delete.
Shit.
I'd just love the chance to get something like that, though.
You don't even get those?
No.
Oh, Leanne, I'll send you one. I'll disguise. Oh, I'll put fake pictures of, like, someone else.
Yes.
Are you looking for somebody?
No.
No. Okay, because this is why I wanted you to tell
your story. If
there
was someone, if someone came along, firstly, it would have to be not via Tinder or setup.
Yeah.
And they would have to be amazing.
Oh.
Because I'm literally, not settling for anything else.
No other bar there is set. No. Amazing or nothing.
You'd have to completely bowl me over.
Yeah, but then, you see, what would you do for them? I always think when I go into these situations, and I have an unrealistic expectation too, that I might settle down one day. I might even have kids one day. But that, you know, whoever she is going to have to blow me away as well, just like you said.
Here's the problem.
Like, what am I putting in?
No, but that that means that that's according to my standards. It doesn't mean that they have to be amazing looking or whatever. They just have to be... have a personality tick my boxes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but
so I'm not asking for a 10 out of 10 model here, and it's different to everyone else's standards.
Okay, blowing your mind. Let's just imagine though that this person is they're attractive to you physically.
Yeah.
They don't have to be front cover.
No,
of
they're
men's
just
health.
Not a dog.
No, they must be attractive to you. Okay, so you might have a different sort of appeal.
Yeah,
you might like a different kind of guy to what Sia might like, okay? Then they have to have some intellectual capacity to be able to share your sense of humor, I'd imagine.
A lot of.
Yeah. You laugh a lot and you find life funny and you've got a lot of funny things going on in your life all the time.
Mm.
He's going to have a sense of humor. But then I always wonder when it's me in that position, I'm always like, well, what do I have to give as well? It's not just what you want, it's what you've got to give.
I don't have to give anything. I just have to be me.
No, but that, you see, just being isn't enough because relationships are all, I don't want to be cynical, but relationships are all about compromise. So you're going to have days where you want to stay at home and do nothing during the holidays, for example. And there are going to be days where they want to go out and do things. They want to get busy. They want to see people. What if their friends are shitheads?
So that's why it wouldn't work, and that's why it wouldn't
you know
start.
You know how my one friend solved this problem with friends who are shitheads?
Yeah.
He married the girl of his dreams. We were all friends, so I knew her as well as him. And they got married, and then he said to her, "We have to move to another country." They moved to another country. Now she doesn't see her friends.
Her shitheads. Okay. That's a little drastic.
He loved it. He took her away from her friends, and now they're both happy. And they just see each other.
Sounds familiar.
A little drastic.
Sounds very familiar.
Oh, never mind.
Here's some interesting advice. You want to hear from people who are taking this in and taking it on board?
Uh-huh.
Gareth, there's a guy called Matthew Hussey. He is a brilliant guy on relationship advice. I believe both goals need to be the same. Yeah.
Yeah, you hear goals and also values must be the same.
Sure.
As a good
but
foundation.
Emotional goals and values are very different for men and for women just on the basis of our evolution. Like, we have biologically different goals. For women, security and relationships are way more important than success and position and hierarchy. You know, it's a very different thing for both sides. So you've got to find, again, compromises. I hear you, Ruth. I'll check this Matthew Hussey out and find out what he knows. What a hussy.
You know, talking about these email scams that you've received just now, Gareth, it reminds me of a documentary I watched a while ago where in Nigeria, I think, there's a syndicate that was exposed of young, unemployed, you know, men who literally spend their days going to internet cafes, scouring Facebook, mm-hmm. creating fake profiles, and pretending to be these women that they're not in order to lure people.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly, well, the documentary I watched was speaking about they were targeting people from the United Kingdom, but a lot of people are desperate and a lot of people will believe the first thing that they hear coming from a person who sounds and seems sincere and genuine, especially if they're in the verge of their life where they're like, I need to find somebody to be involved with or have a relationship with. So yeah, desperation is real. Susceptible people, like smart people, fall for these things.
Yeah, that's the point. It's not
that
dumb
need.
It's not dumb people. Yeah, it's the need. It's not dumb people who fall for this stuff. It's smart people too. And anyone, if you take them out of their life and you give them the story, they'll look at it straight away and go, "Oh, that's ridiculous. I would never do that.
I'd never fall for that."
The minute your own emotions get involved, you're.
You know, there's this guy at a bar in Parkhurst, and ever since I've moved to Joburg, so easily the past 5 years, I've seen him so many times on any given Thursday night, a Friday night, a Saturday night. He will go to the bar alone because he lives a few houses away, and he'll just sit and he'll wait and he'll wait for someone.
But that's old school.
Tell me where and I'll go.
No,
kidding.
Leanne's only going for the bar.
To mention how
if it's the bar I'm thinking of, I'll go.
He will so readily just like buy a drink for any woman who walks in, and it is so sad.
Is he old?
He's I would say like early 40s. Well, no, okay, actually like mid 40s.
That's that
but
age.
You can tell that he so needs and wants a relationship. Oh man.
No. Shame. Sad shame.
Poor, that sad
poor
motherfucker.
Poor so
bastard.
If anyone wants to score themselves a free drink.
Yeah, just go. Just see, I will give you his details. You can go and grab a free drink from this, this lunatic.
You actually know it. You've been there a couple of times.
You've met him?
No, I'm sure you have. I've been to this place a couple of times.
Oh my God. Well, you used to have like a brass plaque at one of the bars in Joburg.
I'd walk in.
Yeah, Leanne Moll's Corner.
And they'd pour my drink immediately. Yeah,
that's right.
And I'd throw my handbag onto one of the tables.
Yes, and it would be yours.
Because you're so comfortable.
It was like walking into my lounge.
You'd take your shoes off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I fell, I got back up and the party continued.
Oh, there we go.
No, that used to happen though. A friend of mine said she'd see me and then she wouldn't, and then I'd pop up from the floor. Where's Leanne? Oh, there she is.
Oh, man. All right. Do you want to get into the five things? You care about these?
Yep.
All right, let's do it. Number one. Number one. This is interesting. Malusi Gigaba allegedly ordered that Eskom enter into sponsorship and advertising agreement with the Gupta-owned newspaper The New Age after managers of the power utility refused to do so. So this is all happening at the State Capture Commission. And you hear things like this, and most of us knew this, right? Because the New Age and SABC were sponsoring these breakfasts, and they were being paid for by Eskom, even though the sponsor was supposedly the New Age.
Yes.
Eskom was paying for them, and they were paying for them because Malusi Gigaba told them to. Now, here's what I don't understand. Malusi Gigaba just continues to live a pretty good life, right? He made a ton of money while he was minister. He's living, I think, in Pretoria at the moment. He's, despite all those sexual shenanigans where he's showing his penis on WhatsApp and all the rest, he's still married. He's got kids. They go to school. He's driving around in a fancy car. The guy's got a good life, despite having ripped off the country and put Eskom into an even worse position than it would have been if it was just mismanaged. But it was mismanaged and had government interference. And what's happened to him? What's happened to Malusi Gigaba? How is anyone holding him responsible? Well, crickets. Nothing. There's not a peep out of anybody. So all of this came out yesterday at the State Capture Commission. Judge Zondo was presiding, and Peter Pretorius, who's Eskom's acting general manager of strategic marketing and branding. What a nutcase this guy must have been to have taken that job in the first place. But then to have been bamboozled like he was by management and by the government and by this minister, Gigaba, who's such an idiot. I mean, he opens his mouth and you just know he doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. It's a circus. And will anyone be held responsible? Dunno. Two guys were arrested in KZN with AK-47 assault rifles.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Police spokesperson Brigadier Jay Nika said the men were arrested by members of the Police Public Order Policing Unit. They were acting on intelligence gathered about the rifles.
Where does one acquire such a rifle?
Oh, you just...
Black market.
Yeah, you just need to know, right? I get mine from Gugu. With Gugu, it's an actual black market.
Yes, literal.
Mfundo, by the way, says, Gareth, I don't trust that Karina girl authentically. Like, why me and not Gugu or Mfundo getting these emails? Yeah, that's true. That's one reason not to trust it. Back to the news. There's so much crazy stuff going on. Do you want to hear about the fuel price? Apparently, that's going to come down.
Oh, really? Oh. Okay, that's some good news. Tell us.
It's like anything in the shops. Mm. Uh-huh. It's on sale. Yeah, that's because you pumped the price up before you put it on sale.
Thank you.
Taking us for...
It's Leanne Moll, you see. That's why she's not married. She's not stupid enough to fall for it. Fuel prices are set for slight drops across the board in the wake of oil price retreats in October. This is according to the Automobile Association. And they were saying the rand has pulled back from its high point at the start of October. This ongoing decline in the average exchange rate has meant most of its losses have been clawed back and will only have a modest impact on the fuel price. The association said international oil prices also declined slightly as October wore on. As a result, we're anticipating November drops of between 8 and 18 cents for petrol, 14 cents for diesel, and 21 cents for illuminating paraffin. So, there we go. And stock up, if that's the kind of thing you do. Afriforum are in the news again. You want to hear about them?
Yeah.
Well, Afriforum said in a statement on Tuesday that the decision by Total Sports to remove the stand-up posters of Lock Ibn Etzebeth from its shops is a stupid decision. And I kind of agree with Afriforum.
This just came out of left field.
Afriforum have accused the retailer of allowing itself to be tainted by racial politics. Ernst Rutz, who's the head of policy and action at AfriForum, said Total Sports' decision shows the retailer group is willing to be dragged down by a racially motivated political narrative. Yeah, there's this one like person who said that Ibn Etzebeth said something or did something racist at a bar on a drunken night like a year ago or whatever it might have been. It's such a bullshit story. So what does this Total Sports do? And by the way, the CEO of Total Sports, if you've ever seen this person's balls, you'd have to have been using a microscope. You know, if you give in Let me tell you something. If you give in to these idiots on social media who tell you, oh, Ebenezer's a racist, and you fall for that crap, and you keep responding, the mob will just pull you down to where they are, which is in the depths of hell. None of these people on social media are particularly smart. None of these people on social media are particularly powerful. None of them have great lives. They're all miserable, unhappy, sexist shit. And if you allow yourself to be dictated to, if you're the CEO of a company and you let some idiot on Instagram or Twitter decide what your policy is going to be, you deserve to fall, and so does your business. And if you go for all this woke politics shit like Gillette did, you end up $8 billion in the can. That's what happened to them with their men are trash. You jump on this bandwagon, there's only one way it goes, and that's to losses, not profits. Try to pander to whatever's politically correct at the moment. Good for you. Go woke, go broke.
That's
take that.
That's
that
sounds like
mofos.
A tagline.
Jesus,
of notes.
So stupid. Balls. So I'm sorry. I mean, it's very seldom that I feel I have to go at a company or stand up for AfriForum, but in this case, they're absolutely right. And you know what? You take your politics and you make a difference by moving your money. And that's what people will do. The UK is set to go to the polls on the 12th of December after MPs backed Boris Johnson's call for an election following months of Brexit deadlock. You'd think this was bigger news, but we put it right at the end of the five things because actually, like at this point, who cares, right?
Watch next week, Tuesday. It's retracted and different.
By a margin of 438 votes to 20, the House of Commons approved legislation paving the way to the 1st of December election since 1923. December election since 1923. The bill's set to be approved by the Lords, but could become law by the end of the week. If that happens, there will be a five-week campaign to polling day. Prime Minister has said the public must be given a choice over the future of Brexit and the country. So here's what's been happening in short. The British people decided in a referendum by a slim majority, but a majority nonetheless, that they wanted to leave the EU. Since then, every politician on both the opposition, Jeremy Corbyn's Labour Party, and in the Conservative Party up until Boris Johnson wanted to stay. Despite the people telling them, we want to get out. They said, no, we're the politicians. We know what's good for you. We'll stay. And then they got rid of Theresa May and Boris came in and Boris said, all right, look, I'm going to do this thing. And again, everyone in Parliament, including the Speaker, tried to get in Boris's way because they don't want the public to be able to decide for themselves. We know better than you. We're professional politicians. So now what's happened is that guys like Boris and Nigel Farage and people who are populist leaders on the right, these guys are going ahead with this Brexit thing. But until everybody in Parliament voted for an election, and remember, Jeremy Corbyn and the Labour Party didn't want an election because they're going to lose it horribly. Horribly! So what did they do? They stood in the way again. Now, finally, Boris has got an election. Watch what happens. We make a prediction like I did with Donald Trump and everybody said, oh, Hillary's definitely going to win.
Okay.
And everybody said when I said Brexit's going to happen, they went, no, it's not. Britain will never leave the EU. Here it comes again. Mm. Take note of these words. What's today? The
30th of October.
All right. So we've got a couple of months. Boris is going to win by a much bigger margin than the Brexit margin in the referendum all those months ago. And Brexit's going to happen. And they're going to give the middle finger to the EU, who've also been making it as difficult as possible for them to leave. And finally, democracy will prevail. And that is how democracy works. You ask the people say they want this, you have to make it happen. Mm. Otherwise, you're not a politician, and you're not a Democrat. I hate to break it to you, but you're an elitist. Now, whether you like Brexit or not is a totally separate issue. It's not up to you. If you say you're a democracy, even dumb people get to have their say. We know that in this country, because our dumb people in this country vote for the ANC, the DA, and the EFF. Three terrible parties that will do nothing for you. So you know what? You got to accept the system. That's what you got.
Yeah.
All right. There we go. Those are five things. You happy?
Sure.
No, we've got five things
God,
and then
like
some.
I need a shower after that.
Why?
No, it was just hectic.
You got hit.
hot under the collar.
Exhausted. Can I ask you? Can I ask you something?
What is that old man cough?
Have you ever heard that sound that like some old people make when they get up?
Yeah.
When they get up,
but they. Not they, sorry. I'm
you're
pretty
doing it?
I'm borderline, yeah.
Oh,
borderline. It's getting up and going and then sitting down and going
I saw this cute video of a toddler who was going around picking up her toys, and it was this toddler's mother who actually posted this on Twitter saying, "My toddler has started learning from me. Every time she bends over, she now groans and moans herself." So this little, like, two-year-old is picking up her toys, going,
because she's learned from the adults, yeah.
Because that's all she sees around her.
I want to refer you to something that's quite pertinent. You know, again, what we try to do with the show is bring you the really important top-line stuff, and otherwise just have the conversations that are most interesting or informative or entertaining or, you know, empowering, inspiring, wherever it goes. But the fact is that occasionally we do have to pay attention to news. Tito Mboweni tweeted something about 5 hours ago, which means he, the poor man, was up. What time would 5 hours ago be? Like 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning, 2? It's about 2 in the morning.
Gareth, that is so bad.
I'm shit at maths, man.
So bad, and we all are.
So he says, this is Tito, the Minister of Finance, who's about to table his medium-term budget tomorrow. "After a long thought process, I've decided not to do any original tweets anymore. I might, just might retweet, not endorsement. I came to the conclusion that Twitter is no longer about its original purpose, i.e. to create a networked society. It is now an abusive platform." Well, welcome to the world that I'm going to give credit. Stephen Fry discovered this early on. He smelt the dead body in the passage long before anyone else. I have not put out an original tweet for ages, and if I have, it's been innocuous, right? I don't give opinions anymore. Why? Because exactly what Tito's saying and exactly what Stephen Fry said, someone's peed in the pool. Ooh. And it's no longer good for everyone to get in there with the turds and the pee and the stink and the disease. And this is because, again, democracy. Mm. The minute everyone's allowed on a platform, the worst elements of society poison the well. They make it very difficult for everyone else to have meaningful conversation, to have a sense of humor, to have nuance. So, I mean, Reedy Tlabi, to her credit, and I love Reedy to pieces. She really is one of the beacons of light in a country where we just do not have enough people who have the courage of their convictions. She stood up for Tito and said, "Please don't. Otherwise, the abusive ones win. Stay and engage with people who don't wake up in the morning with the sole purpose of insulting you, twisting your words. Toughen up, keep going. Twitter is that, but also a gathering of smart people. Find them and ignore the background noise." Reedy, I love you, but that's wrong. It's just, it's too poisonous there now.
But you know, yeah.
Who do you know who goes on Twitter every day and loves it?
I hear part of her point. You can block, you can mute, you can mute out words and terms that you don't want to see. Sure, and really
so
just
much
focus
work.
On...
I just don't go on.
Oh no, I have
it's
a
not on my
blissful
phone.
Time.
Listen, it's not on my phone anymore. So I don't have any intro to Twitter on my phone. If something happens on Twitter, I'm only going to find out when I open my laptop. It's better that way. So I'm going to say to Tito, get out now before it taints and poisons you. And Reedy, I'm sorry, I can't agree with you on this one. It's too late for Twitter.
And these are his 1 a.m. thoughts.
I know. Poor man. And he's trying to like cobble together a budget so he can save this disgusting economy from that wretched ANC.
But Twitter's keeping him awake.
Yeah, well, of course it is, because he's being abused there. You know, there was a time where, you know,
I
remember us playing drinking games at the State of the Nation address, and people were having fun, and everyone was laughing and joking and, you know, making fun of each other, but in a friendly way. And Twitter was full of smart people who could spell properly and understand the nuances of shades of grey as opposed to black and white. Now it's dumb people who are unloading the carnage of their internal organs and their diseased brains
and
spilling it from every orifice like a big puking multi-orificed machine.
It's like maggots coming out of small holes.
That's it. Oh. And these are the people who own Twitter now. So good luck to you guys. I'm not jumping in that.
Well, granted, if it isn't Twitter that is keeping him awake, he has a budget speech today. And then
it's tomorrow, I think.
I think it is.
Pretty sure it's tomorrow.
This week.
It's to something.
It's this week. And then it was also the stats that were released yesterday, because I'm sure everyone looks at those stats and then we turn and we say, but the economy.
Yeah, like it's all Tito's fault.
Unemployment has risen while the economy.
Let me tell you something. Tito Mboweni is the only guy left in the ANC who even understands supply and demand.
He must feel like he's on an island.
Oh, can you imagine him going into an NEC meeting and he gets all this ideological rubbish thrown at him? And he has to try to explain to people, food for the people. Jobs.
Do you think he'd make a good president? I mean, we thought Cyril, with his business background, would...
No. You thought that. I never thought that. Did I ever say that, Sia? Was I ever one of those Cyril New Dawn people?
I don't remember.
No, because I wasn't.
I don't think so, no.
Well, Tito was, you know, still showing us how to cook, about how great Kigali is on Twitter.
He tried, and God bless you, Minister. I hope it goes well, and I hope your medium-term budget's a success. But, yeah, you know what? Don't go and... In Afrikaans,
it is today, by the way.
You know, okay. Well done there, Sia. Thank you. Accept that I was completely wrong.
I was sitting on the doodler.
So, in other words, he has had no sleep and he's going to go to Parliament and table this budget now. Mm. Poor man. There's an Afrikaans saying. It goes, Mengyo medisiemels van vrede varke jou op. You know what that means?
Mengyo.
Mix
you with the pig food and the pigs will eat you up. Mix you with. All right. Speaking of which, there's a thing I've been meaning to bring up for the longest time. We have this bizarre property, like diagonally to the back of Cliff Central.
I've seen it. I keep meaning to ask you guys.
They've put up like reeds. It almost looks like.
But they're two-story reeded.
Exactly.
It looks like a constructions.
It looks like a motel. Yeah, it looks like a motel. But it's made of reeds and bamboo, and
it's like a jungle place, right?
Well, this I think they're going to feed people to wild animals in there. It's like a dystopian.
It looks like an experiment.
Yeah, it looks like it does. Very weird stuff is going on there. Does anyone know what's actually happening?
Someone should go find out.
Just walk there and knock on the.
Hell no! I'm not going there.
What if you don't come back?
That's exactly what I'm thinking.
Let's just try to set the scene a bit more.
Yeah. Right.
It's a residential property.
Yeah.
It is someone's house.
Mm.
And
but there's a big area of cleared land.
When we first moved in, it looked like an abandoned tennis court. Okay. So which also gives you a picture of how big the space we're talking about. So what used to be a tennis court was now slowly being almost barricaded.
Yeah. And turned into the...
With like these bamboo sticks.
Yes.
And then there seemed to be a second floor of... A second story of these bamboo barriers. And now it just looks like... I don't know if you guys read... What is that book? In school where... Boys on an Island. Lord of the Flies. Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
I think this is something straight out of Lord of the Flies.
They're going to have a pig's head on a stick eventually.
Someone is about to be sacrificed there.
Yeah, I'm telling you. We've got to keep an eye.
To find out.
And if you climb on our roof, you can see like a little bit more of it.
I need to go there, actually.
I want you to take some photos.
I think we should
I was about
Google.
To ask, would it be invasive if you did?
Well, I don't. Whatever they're doing in there is not legit, I'm telling you. There's
Rock,
nothing
paper,
kosher going
to
on.
Who goes?
And easy,
I'll
Google.
I'll take pictures from the roof. I'm not going
Google,
there.
You're going.
Not armed, Gareth.
It's part of your job.
How you? I'm not. It's just you can take over like some milk or something. It's a nice neighborly thing to do.
Okay,
you're going
to the roof.
I'm going
to
give you a. I'm going to give you like a tub of sugar, and I'm going to say someone said they needed sugar.
Oh, but there's no one there.
I know.
But the thing is,
except the wild animal, it's going to eat
exactly.
you.
Exactly. And there are teams. There are teams that work on this. It's like easily seen like on average 3 people. Build on this.
Yes. No, I'll take tea bags
at a time.
No, tea bags much more expensive. You can take some sugar.
We want to know, but we don't want to waste money.
You want a public service announcement?
Okay.
This is from Carl. He says, I need to tell you guys something. I barely ever eat takeout, but on Saturday I had a KFC burger, and I've had dribbly bum ever since. Fucking poison, he says. Just thought you needed to know. That's from Carl.
I boycotted KFC when I was 21, so 20 years ago.
I hope you added hope, Carl. All right.
So it'll be the zinger or something, Carl.
I think you need to pull straws, and the short straw person has to go and pop around at the big bamboo house.
Definitely.
A Girl Scout or water meter person. Yes, yes, bad boys re brown sugar. Good morning, team. I recently joined Twitter. The porn is amazing. I follow...
What?
I follow Thursday 859, Ass for Days, and Nicole Du Papillon, the longest pussy lips I've ever seen.
Literally like a papillon.
Oh, that's great. All right, so there's use for... Twitter has its uses then. All right, good.
Just
that's awesome. Weird. Gareth, it could be Orthodox Jews that left their structure up from Sukkot. No, Michelle.
Oh, no. It started ages ago.
It started long before Sukkot.
Yeah.
Oh, it's great. Yeah, you're going to go across there like Martin in Bad Boys 1, Gugu. Can I borrow some brown sugar?
Oh, but mind you, this is also the same property where the... house itself is two stories, and on the second story there's a balcony that is directional to our window here.
Mm-hmm.
So we've seen two naked people here. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, I know they often come out naked. Yeah, yeah.
And then there's also the lady who hangs out her wigs on the balcony.
Yes, that one.
To dry.
Yeah,
it's great.
Okay,
so sometimes we see her looking like a wet dog before she leaves the house.
Well, everybody has their thing. Anyway, isn't it fascinating? Wednesday morning, cliffcentral.com. If you're wondering, Gord is not in this morning, but we have the beautiful Leanne Moll in with us. So that's a good start to your day. And if you want to get hold of us, 079-748-2090. That's the number to call.
Cliffcentral.com.